In this ASI cast, we're talking about the technology being used to measure audiences to video content, both on and offline. Richard Marks, our research director, discusses the strengths and weaknesses of the options currently available with David Whittaker, the principal consultant at Digital Solutions, in which capacity he is a consultant to Barb, covering people meters, router meters, audio matching, audio encoding, and in-player tags. The interview concludes with David assessing how future-proof these individual tools in the audience measurement toolkit really are.
Welcome, David. Our paths have crossed, I think, a number of times in the past, but can you give our listeners a feel for your area of expertise and perhaps a few of the projects that you've worked on in the past?
Yeah, sure. So thanks for the opportunity to take part in the podcast. I think our paths first crossed possibly at the ASI conference in 2002. I think at that time I was working for NDS and you were working for Kantar. Mm-hmm. I think the area we were focusing on was the development and introduction of use of set-top box data, or RPD, became known.
Indeed.
Yeah. And I think we were both at that time working on a project that had two outcomes. One was to provide Sky with its own private and much deeper insight into the viewing activity on its boxes, and also to enhance the SI data, the system information data that was being fed to the Barb meters, in order to enable the time shift viewing on Sky Plus to be fed to those meters and understood by those meters. And that led to Barb being able to answer many broadcasters' questions about what really was going on in time shift viewing in the UK, and also to extend the Barb currency from Live Plus One, which was mainly VCR playback, video record playback, to Live Plus Seven, which is the current currency in the UK.
Yeah, and I know the SI code system is being used right up to this day, so it's a good contribution to the service. I also recall a long conversation we had about, I think I'm right in saying, how you helped to introduce the Fairlight synthesizer to the UK. But would that be correct?
It was actually a different device. It was called Synclavier. It was the competitor.
That's right.
To the Fairlight.
The Synclavier. But that will be for another podcast. If I ever do a pop music podcast, we can talk about the influence of the Synclavier on Frankie Goes to Hollywood. But
exactly, yes.
Coming back to audience measurement. Now, up to now, I think at ASI, we throw a lot of terms about, and I think a proportion of the audience are understanding intimately what they mean, but a number, you know, may scratch their heads from time to time. Phrases like audio matching, tagging, encoding, and I think it would be useful for this podcast, kind of in preparation for your speech in Nice, to actually perhaps unpack a few of those terms, not in techie detail, but in terms of, you know, the data user understanding what they mean. And certainly up to now, certainly in the last decade, content recognition for video has largely been based on audio matching. You mentioned SI codes, but the heart of most systems has tended to be recently audio matching, encoding, and some degree of tagging of online content. So if we perhaps take a deep dive into each of those, there does seem to be a deeper an acceptance at the moment that the audio is the default for people meters attached to TV sets. But is audio likely to remain that baseline for people meters, or are other alternatives around? I certainly remember thinking back to, we're talking about 2002, and even back then picture matching was being described as possibly being the future. Is audio still the main way of tracking video, or are there alternatives?
Well, certainly in the current state of play, it is. It's a very complicated space, because you mentioned TV viewing. Of course, the big challenge there is that there's a lot of connected devices and other things, and they provide challenges for simply connecting to the people meters. The other, similarly, picture tracking, which you mentioned, or picture matching, is presents challenges because, again, the meter picture detection has to somehow connect to the device being viewed. The other aspect of it is that both of those subsets have split now, because we've got what I would call pure audio matching, which is, it is truly the audio of the program that we're trying to then find a match for with some references, or you've got watermarked audio, and the same would be for pictures as well. So it's a very complicated space. At the moment, the de facto appears to be, for most markets, audio matching, which is pure audio matching, in that the audio that's being viewed on or heard on the device is collected, and then somewhere there is a big reference bank of all the various broadcasters' content sources, and we match against them and try and find the best match. And that's a probability match. But it gets very challenging now because there's HD and SD simulcasts, and now in some cases 4K simulcasts. The audio is the same for that. We have also situations where the advertising in the audio is changing because it's targeted advertising taking place. That presents a big challenge for audio matching, because most audio matching is based on taking a series of successive samples, comparing them in the database, and building a probability across a number of consecutive samples. And for the audio substitution side of things, that's a really big challenge. Because we're dealing with ad spots of 10, 15, 20 seconds. For most of the audio matching systems, that presents a problem. Audio watermarking is a good way to go for those situations, but then it adds a lot of complexity to the way the content is prepared, delivered, and transmitted. And it still may not give us enough insight into terms of which device is being viewed, for example. The answer to the question, it is the default. It will stay there for a long time. But the challenges of people meters are actually detecting what is being viewed on the device that's being used, because hardwiring becomes more and more difficult. We have the complexity that both the audio and the video are moving into digital outputs and transmissions between the receiving device and the reporting device or the detecting device. Analog audio, analog video is not being found very easily anymore. So that presents a lot of challenges as well. So the answer is yes, we'll stick with audio. It'll be a main thing. But increasingly, we need other means of having better understanding of what is being viewed on what devices, on what services. And we need better detail than pure audio can provide.
So R could be the future, or at least the short to medium term future, is audio plus. It's audio plus other things to help triangulate in terms of what's going on, I guess. I think that the challenge, certainly thinking about the challenge that picture matching faced compared to audio matching, was that once digital TV came in particular, the picture would change a lot depending on how someone had got their TV set up, whether there was overlays, whether they were bringing in red button services over the top, whereas the audio tended to be more constant in terms of not being mucked about with. So effectively, we seem to be in a situation where audio is the baseline, and then we are adding in other means of detection to work out what's going on. So moving on to online video, tagging seems to be the default for the early TAM services that are seeking to measure outside of the TV set, but obviously only if the content owner wants to be measured. And Netflix is often cited as an example of someone who has no advertising and little interest in revealing it to the outside world. And also YouTube can tend to not want to take other people's tagging. Are there alternatives to tagging? I mean, can't we just, being simplistic as a non-techie, why can't we just read the metadata to find out what's going on? Why does there need to be the tag in the system?
Well, up till now, we've inherited in this area, most audience measurement and research has approached the idea that we want tags that are specific for audio measurement and research put into the content. And in quite a few implementations, that means that the player for a particular service has to have additional code specified by a third party added to it to generate the tags. That's very awkward from a business and technology point of view. It involves cost, delay, and as you correctly point out, it also needs absolute cooperation with the content provider or the service provider for on demand.
And just to clarify, by tag we effectively mean a piece of code placed into the stream that the broadcast player or the online player is actually serving. So it's something that is being effectively sitting there that gives a doorway for the measurement company into what that player is doing.
Well, that's right. A really good question. At the moment, state of the art tends to be that certainly in the TV measurement environment, that's not a piece of code necessarily that's in the content being delivered to the consuming device, the viewing device. But until recently, it's been a piece of code that is inserted into the software of the player on the consuming device. That's been the TV industry's approach to this, or the TV measurement industry's approach to this. There is a more flexible approach. Most of these devices use a system or a derivative of a system called VAST. I won't get into the details of that. But the bottom line is on that is that along with the data that carries the video that or the audio that's going to be consumed on the device, the streaming service, there's also the capability within that connection back to the original service provider of putting in soft data that the player will then will use. The player will then be configured to generate tags to third parties. And by tags, I mean, here's a message to go to Google or Comscore or whatever. And with you, it's very common to actually have a situation when you're watching a piece of on-demand viewing. In the data that went to the device is the definition, soft definition, of a number of tags that will be generated throughout the consumption of that viewing on the device and sent to external third parties. That's something that's starting to be discussed in the TV measurement area, and that is a very attractive way to move forward. But at the moment, the current art is that TV measurement tags tend to be simple and relatively tightly defined, and we want cooperative content providers to put the effort in to put those tags into their software, and that's an obstacle to be overcome.
So effectively, it's something that's sitting there inside the player. It's not an analog to the, say, the Arbitron or the what used to be called Arbitron, the CBEC code, which is being kind of pumped into the actual broadcast every 15 seconds or so. It's something that actually interacts the player with the measurement company so they can see what's going on. The challenge, I guess the additional challenge that's been encountered is not just the work involved in putting the tag in, but presumably broadcasters have some resistance to putting lots of different tags in for different online and video measurement companies. Do you think there's any likelihood of a single universal tag being agreed that everyone could use, or is the barrier more commercial than technical, do you think?
Well, I sort of sit between the technical and the commercial, and the reality is that having lots of proprietary, separate, different technical implementations is messy and slow, and I think that's the world we're in at the moment. The reality is you need a common purpose across the players. In most circumstances, the content providers in most markets at the moment are providing or specifying or somehow strong-arming those people who want to show their individual on-demand services to put in separate applications with separate branding and separate private tags for those arrangements. And it's a slow process. Can we get to a common format? Well, I think we need to take an example from the other bit of the online video world, which isn't TV. So for a lot of the players and other services, that video application is using these VAST approaches. That means a new player can come and join that environment, and all they have to do is have cooperation with somebody who hosts a playing application and to tell them who they want to send tags to. This allows existing major players to change their tag partners overnight without any changing in the software of the end devices, and that's the way you want to go. What we need ultimately is an industry cooperation. Probably it starts off on a country-by-country basis that says the major broadcasters have all said, okay, we want these tags placed in this common format using this soft coding to be sent back to the JIC, the BARB, the AGF of our market in a common format. And that, I think, is achievable with some industry cooperation persuasion.
I think SIM, the Coalition for Innovative Media Measurement in the States, has been doing work trying to bring in some standardized form of tracking, but I think it's primarily for content tracking as opposed to purely audience measurement. But there do seem to be some moves in that direction, so it'd be interesting to keep an eye on how that develops. But I'm conscious of time, and also conscious that you're going to be speaking in Nice about home network data traffic, so I don't want to preempt that particular topic. That's a teaser for people to enjoy actually at the event. But although it might be fun just to perhaps ask a very specific question finally, an arguably a literally a $1 million question. Now, let's imagine I'm sitting with an industry body who's about to award a brand new TAM contract that's going to ideally run for the next 5 to 10 years, because people meters tend to have a fairly durable shelf life. If I'm evaluating what technologies to look at, how future-proof would you say each of the following approaches are? So I've got five sort of technical aspects on the list. So feel free to dive in or demur, or say I couldn't possibly comment, as the guy says on House of Cards. But so looking at 10 years hence, how durable an investment would you say are the core of the service, a people meter itself?
I think they're a good investment. Obviously, they address the issue of getting the panel members to identify who's in the room. Very few other approaches can provide that. So it's a core requirement, and it fits in with the gold standard approach of having a people meter panel to provide reference for any wider measurement. So I think that's strong. However, you do want to make sure that if you're investing in more people meters, I think you need to be sure that the technology in them is relatively soft and upgradable.
That makes sense. And in terms of more recent meter developments, we've had a few papers at ASI in the last couple of years specifically about router meters. That's effectively usually some form of box that sits within or adjacent to the home network, intercepting and reading traffic. How durable a technology do you think that is?
I think it's got a lot of strength and possibility. I think there's two classes of router meter, or at least you need to consider. One is router meters are there to only recognize tags and traffic that has been agreed and has broadcaster cooperation. I'm going to leave the whole issue of panel member data cooperation aside, because I'm working on the principle that's assumed. If you've got these meters in the home, it's a given. Okay. But there is a second class of activity in the router meter space, which is to actually analyze the traffic that's going on for various services, including the ones who don't want to cooperate. I think that's an important factor, because I think for the next ongoing period of time, for many years, there will be new services who aren't part of the club or don't really want their activities to be reported because they would prefer to use their own metrics. But for JICs and audience measurement currencies, it's important that that viewing is recognized as well. And the only way I think that can be achieved is by having router meters in the home that are capable of understanding the traffic that is not specifically tagged for audience measurement purposes.
Okay, so my shopping list is growing. I need a people meter. It sounds like I'm going to need a router meter. In terms of detection technologies, which again aren't necessarily cheap in terms of being set up, audio matching, how durable do you think audio matching specifically as opposed to audio encoding is?
I think audio matching is pretty durable. There's the challenge of capturing the audio in the device at the from the panel member end, but I think that will be around for a long time, and it provides an extremely good additional reference, a second point of data to augment the information you get out of router meters and other sources.
And audio encoding, effectively here we're talking about injecting a recognizable code into the broadcast stream that's picked up either by fixed or portable meters?
Well, certainly for portable meters, I think that's very important because existing personal portable meters, that's their primary approach. That works well, but again, you've got to have broadcaster cooperation, and also you've got to all have the capability of putting increasingly complex data loads into that audio encoding in order to properly recognize and differentiate between the wider range of content and advertising and time shift and insertion activity that we really want to track.
Mm. So some form of audio is going to be involved. And finally, we mentioned it earlier, in-player tagging, the approach of physically inserting code, or not necessarily physically, but via software, inserting code into compliant broadcaster and service provider players.
Yeah, that's going to be important too. Again, that drives you towards a common currency or a common tagging method for the group of broadcasters in the territory being measured that want to play nicely and want to cooperate with the JIC.
Okay, so it does sound like a long shopping list, which is something for upcoming contract awarders to bear in mind. So, well, thanks for your time, David. We're looking forward to catching up and hearing what you've got to say about specifically about tracking various devices in the home via the home network in the measurement session at ASI, which is on the Thursday morning. And we look forward to your return to ASI after a few years. So thanks for making time to speak to us this morning, and we'll see you in Nice.
Thank you very much. See you there.
You can listen to other ASI Cast interviews by accessing the archive of recordings at asiconferences.com.